So let's start. Pavel Chevera will be telling us about quantization of Poisson-Hopf algebras.
So this topic might be slightly different than the general topic of the talk here. I apologize for that. I only hope that the methods might be, some of the methods might be recognizable. So what is the product? So what is the Poisson of algebra? Let's say we start with it's a commutative of algebra. And now we get a Poisson bracket, which we want to quantize. It's going to be applicable for Poisson of algebra just an arbitrary q linear symmetric monoid categories. example, if you want to say the most standard problem in this setup would be quantization of Lie by algebras. This is the last time I'm going to talk about quantization of Lie by algebras in this talk. So for that, the category would be the opposite of the category of vector spaces, and our solution work called Poisson of algebra, but it's really Poisson of algebra in this opposite category. So we don't worry about that.
So possibly, I guess it will be clear from what comes, but you're kind of imposing the conditions on M1, mm-hmm. but why not delta 1 and S1, or like, right?
Okay, it's a priori is not say clear. What happens is that delta 1 is 0, mm-hmm. it will be 0, which makes sort of sense.
It must be zero, or it will be zero?
It will be zero. Mm-hmm. Maybe in this universal setup, it must be zero. Mm-hmm. It's not this good, but just you can imagine if you kind of deforming functions on a group, you can just deform the group itself.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? So with that, you can always do that. Maybe in this universal language, it must simply must be zero. And S1 is determined. So that's, there is a, it's not zero, there is a formula that one can derive, there is no. Basically, all this SH is fully determined by something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the problem that you want to solve. Problem, this restriction makes the problem maybe easier, because then we don't have to think about any particle of algebras or anything. It's going to be really just about structures of. So if you wish, if you like the language, of course we are in the constructing is a morphism of strokes, which goes from the proper of algebras into the proper Poisson of algebras with this linear symmetry model category of directional curves. And we need to put there those h bars into the game, so it's just some standard symbols adding from our symmetry bar.
This is maybe a silly question, but could you give simple example of
the functions on a Poisson group. Now, that's true. If you take, like, say, C-infinity functions, then we need to say which symmetric monomial category we're using. So it shouldn't be just vector spaces, but we should say which tensor product we're taking, so that C-infinity of G times G is the same as C-infinity of G tensor C-infinity of G. But that can be done. It's no problem. You can take fresh spaces, or we can just do it manually. It's simply declare the tensor product equal to this. But we can take just if you take an algebraic Poisson group, then polynomial functions on an algebraic Poisson group. I can also give you an example of such a thing, but it's in those simplest examples, that's just known formula. So, okay. So this is the problem. As I said, the problem might be not very interesting for the setup of this conference. But what is the method? So how are we going to solve it?
Can I say why I think it's interesting?
Yes.
Because you're saying it's not interesting.
Yeah, I think it's very good.
No, because clearly the question is, which topological problem are you solving?
Okay, so let me get to it here.
Okay.
Let's see what you can make out of it.
Okay.
So I'll write here something that it will not take some time to explain, but just to give you some impression. So the idea is that we're talking about some Hopf algebra, so let's replace Hopf algebras with their nerves. And work with those nerves. So let me start just with groups. Functions on groups is the fact. Would be commutative of algebra. So if you have a group, I will explain then what is is normal for two, or this is normal for five, that we can construct a nerve. And I guess you've seen normal group, and it's a simplicial set. And it's not just a simplicial set, it's symmetric simplicial set. It's not functorial just under all nodes, but under all nodes. I'll get to it later, but just instead this is a symmetric. Now, if you start with the commutative Hopf algebra, it's roughly the same stuff, only dualized. So, let me, sorry for using all these acronyms, but just you can shout on me whenever you don't know what it means. Commutative Hopf algebra, one can still construct the nerve. The nerve is going to be still symmetric. Now it's probably cosimplicial or something.
So what do you think of the nerve? What is in the group case, what is this simplicial set?
I'll tell you just in a moment.
Okay.
What is the classifying space of the name? BG.
Okay.
So we can mimic the construction for commutative Hopf algebra, but there is no difference really. And the stuff is still symmetric something. And one can ask, can we do the same stuff for Hopf algebras? The answer is yes. It's a little bit more complicated, it's very similar, but what we're getting is something which is graded. So there wouldn't be any more symmetric groups actually acting there, but with graded. Now it takes some time to go over this blackboard. So I'll start with this one. Sorry for boring you, but still with nerves of groups. So what do we need for the first of all? That nerve is a functor from category of finite sets, so I'll just write this up. It will be this category F set, the category of finite sets. Just for simplicity, I'll not be drawing all possible finite sets, but only finite sets that look like this. So collections of dots lying nicely on the line, like that. And to confuse you, when there are n of these, say here there are four, I will call it dot power 4. And morphisms are just all maps. So how do you draw morphisms? Morphisms are going from bottom to top. draw their beads early, but I will stop doing it. So that's a category of finance that's very, very exciting, I admit. And now, if you have a group, out of that, we can get our nerve, and the nerve of the group is a functor with points from this S set, just to the category of sets. And how is it given? Let me give you some more combinatorial description than conceptual description. So N G of L power N is equal to G power N minus 1. How should I imagine? So there are these elements. N of them. And once you imagine there is a one copy of G for each link. Which signal is sort of all on your top, going from here to there, going from here to there.
So are these ordered sets?
Sorry?
Are these ordered finite sets?
These are these sets.
Okay.
But the dots are different.
They are also ordered, yes.
Okay. No, because I mean you said you'll restrict your attention to these finite sets. But this doesn't make sense for arbitrary finite sets. It's not only for pictures that you're using these finite sets. You actually really mean these finite sets.
So this is my definition of the category F set. So there is not thin set, but F set is this thing. As usual, there was this rain in the morning, and so I just forgot everything.
It's okay. It's okay.
So let me restart the talk. Which things I forgot to say? First of all, this is a joint work with somebody, so then this should be said at the very beginning. So let's restart the talk. So this is
how could movies start with a prison?
Yeah. So that was the beginning of the talk. And in the meantime, I forgot what I wanted to say, so we can continue. Yes, so what I wanted to say is that we wrote a paper already, so it's on the archive if you want to look at it. And there, instead of set, first set, we use a different notation, which is comma. The reason for that is, as we shall see, that the stuff that I'm talking about here is the prop of commutative monoids, or of commutative algebras. So if you imagine that they would put G1, G2, G3, those get a map that goes from G power 3 to G power 4. And we just have to do what we do. So we need to know which holonomy to put from going from this point to that point. Well, they are mapped. It's not here, it's not mapped there. So the right thing to put here is
this is a concurrent
Sorry, it's a contravariant function. I forgot it. Yes.
So it's a cosine visual set then?
It's a simple set.
Okay.
So the stuff that you put here is G1, the stuff that you put here is would be G2, G3, and here we just put 1. Now there's of course a way better way to say it. So what is the nerve actually is doing? Let me take the bare groupoid of the finite of our finite set, and now we take all groupoid morphisms from our finite sets to G, and that's it, and that's now obviously functorial, contravariantly functorial, and I don't have to draw my finite sets like this, take all of them, but let me still stay with this picture because they are kind of nicer to generalize when you go to these brain spaces. Okay, so I found this is a morphism of phi. And so one thing which is sort of obvious that this functor captures the group itself. So all structure of the group was used in it, so we can restore the group from the functor. And so let's do it. And the question now is on which functors F from F set on Earth. How to recognize them and then how to reconstruct the group from them. It's just this condition that the functor needs to be fully determined by what's happening on two consecutive. How to do this? Let me write like that. So we have our g power, sorry, all the power n. Now we look at two consecutive dots. So for that we should just take this morphism, which goes from power n. And this would be ith dot, this would be I plus first dot. So let's call this phi I. So what can we do then? By functoriality, we should have a morphism from f dot power n into f. It's all restricting attention on what's happening between those two dots. Now we combine all those phi i's together. This would be f of phi I. If you take them all together, we have a map going from the same stuff to f two dots power n minus 1 with the n minus 1 dots. So this is what this is now. F of phi 1 half 2 F of phi n minus 1 like this. And now if this is a bijection, then our F was is a dark. So let's say that what about definition? Satisfies the nerve condition if I'll call now this thing star because the previous star is replaced. If this stuff is a
Vellum.
Probably at least two. And then we also need to say what's happening when n is 1 or n is 0. This is what I didn't make it quite specify, but empty set is allowed. And so it's for f singular for f of this empty set. And then there is some kind of obvious proposition, which I can say like this. It's a function of M, which is an G, and G. So this stuff is an equivalence of categories. Between what? Well, between category of groups. Factors not just groups, because there are other things that can have nerves, like groupoids and things like that. But among all such functors, one can easily find those that correspond to groups. And just to, so this is all very easy by making it kind of scientific. So just to illustrate what's happening, so how do you reconstruct a group out of its nerve? Okay. The group itself is naturally f of two dots as it should be. How do we get the product? So for the product, we look at the mesh going from two dots to three dots, which is like this.
Why that?
Because now the whole only from going from here to there is the product of these two. So this thing which goes, okay, it really goes from f of three dots into f of two dots. But we know by the condition that this is the same as f of two dots squared. Unchanged during the entire talk. The only thing that when things become graded, then I should do something with this crossing. So let us now do exactly the same thing, but for computational particles. Now should be a function going from h power 4, so there are those 4 h's that start here, to h power 3. And there should be something in between that will tell us somehow what is the morphism going from this h power 3, h power 4 to h power 3. And we do precisely what we did before. So, right, so this corresponds to this thing. Now we see that it goes here. But the order is reversed, so the first thing that we do, we apply amplifold. And then we split it and move it to, you know, split it using the decoder. Okay. Now for this one, it just goes nicely straight here, so we don't have to do anything. Just move it there, multiply it. This one is okay. Here, so we need to split it, this thing, and finally these 2 points are get collapsed, so here we just apply the thing. That's it. It's the same formula that I wrote for the neighborhood group, just now written for commutative of algebras. So I don't know, just to make it work with those groups, so if for C we take set hop, then a commutative of algebra there is the same as a group. instead of talking about functions on groups, one can also just do it this way. So we still start with this example and use the same pictures. Okay. And now we want to somehow take this and that and generalize it to of large numbers. We want to think of large numbers.
So you have a singular recovery theorem, right? That you can tell which NHs came from an H. And
for each I, so this would be f of 2 dots tensor power n minus 1 going to, I just take tensor product of all of these things. It goes to f of n dots tensor power n minus 1, and here I just take the product. This is a commutative algebra. So that's what was snap condition before, it's now this stuff. And plus, there should be those two such conditions, which would be something like, if we take f of 1 dot, that's an algebra, it's a commutative algebra, so we have a unit. And also f of nothing.
So in the case of groups, you ended up using this nerve condition only for n equals to 3, I think, and maybe 4 to prove associativity. But do you need?
Getting a group out of a functor. But to have really to say that it's an equivalent of those categories between some things and some things, because there might be more functors having some strange behavior for many dots.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is the nerve condition, and now similar proposition says that this construction of nerve. Is an equivalence of categories, so I'll write it down. Now, so far it's not very geometrical. I hope we'll get there soon. This brilliant part. I should still finish it, so just some proposition of H, but NH is again equivalence of categories between five, just call it just two functors. And again, I can tell you how to, starting with the functor, how to reconstruct of algebra. It's the same pictures as before. So, just copy it again. So, H, F of 2 nodes.
Commutative of algebra.
Oh, sorry. Commutative of algebra. Yes. So, that thing, Nabokov's product is Nabokov's product. Identifications that f of 3 dots are already known to be by the nerve condition the same as f of 2 dots. Okay. That's nice. Now,
you also need a multiplication now. And it's probably.
These things are commutative algebras.
So you're asking that the case of groups is contained with the setting of commutative algebra taking the category set up. But the target of the factor commutative algebra is it. So are we saying that the set is a commutative algebra and the category opposite to set?
Yeah, which is the same as sets.
But there should be
a co-algebras in sets are just sets.
Why? There is not, if you say commutative algebra, it's also an operation.
Okay, but it's in set op, so if you say the same as co-algebras in instead of just there's just one operation which is diagonal.
Okay, I see.
No worries, there is
okay.
There is really nothing happening here. So far nothing happened. Now there's one of the reasons why for this F set, I didn't take all finite sets, but really took those nice things, is that now I say for preparation for what's going to happen, now I need to see that category as a symmetric Monoido category.
So a little preference.
So F set is a symmetric Monoido category.
Actually, a stiff one in Spain. For the choices I made, a stiff one, where the tensor product is simply just the position. So we should, let me follow that. every object is 10 to the power of a single object generated by a single object. So that's why if I'm writing this dot power n is for 10 to the power of a single object. And for morphisms, there is a, why is it not commutative algebra? Because there is a morphism from here to there, a unique one, actually, which is that's the product. And for the unit, is this unit map going from the empty set to one another set. So the empty set is the unit object. Okay, and let me also write this one nice part of this proposition. This one thing that is, as you basically said, which is not very pretty, that we don't take directly the category C, but we first take the commutative algebras in there that just feels slightly ugly. So what we can now do, we can use the symmetric monomial structure here to get rid of that stuff. So there is an, or it's an isomorphism of categories. So it's really the same function. Now, just for me, because I never remember these things, what it means. So let me remind myself what symmetric monomial function, oh, sorry, what Lux monomial function is. The thing that they satisfy is some sort of associativity. So let me draw it. The drawing for this stuff is thingy, it means that we have f of x, and this means we have f of y, this means that we have f of x tensor y, and the c should be somehow associated in the kind of obvious way. Objects now should be the same as we get in the opposite direction. And there is this thing can be drawn as it's just that. And it should pretend to be. Okay, so this is what. Just to know this. The only non-obvious thing is in which direction I should draw the arrows, since they are not supposed to be invertible, or don't have to be invertible, and that's the direction for that. One thing that one can say that if A in a C1 is an algebra, algebra that implies that F of A is an algebra. Now, if this guy is a cumulative algebra, and if F is actually symmetric, that's more in order, that guy is also going to be cumulative. So just to make it to return for a minute to this proposition, so how does it work? Say if F is a symmetric isomodular functor, everybody here is a cumulative algebra, because everybody is a tensor power of a cumulative algebra, if you wish. So the image of everybody is going to be and something similar. Yeah?
So you say that if A is an algebra, F of A is an algebra.
Sorry, if that is an algebra, if A is an algebra, then F of A is an algebra.
But the map C gives you a map from F tensor A to F of A tensor A.
Okay, so how does it work? So we have F of A tensor F of A. Use this stuff, so it goes to F of A tensor A. And now A is an algebra, so we have an obviously going to A, and we just use F.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why we need these directions of the arms to get algebras to function. This horror algebraic story is kind of over. Sorry for taking so long. Just the proposition, where is it? This one. Now we can rephrase it. Instead of talking about commutative algebras, we can talk about Lax modular functors. Let me just draw the nerve condition for Lax modular functors. It looks like, I'm not sure about my color convention, but it just falls apart apparently. Never mind. It's something. That's not in the nerve condition. So what is what here? So this is f of 2 dot tensor, f of 2 dot tensor, f of 2 dot. Here it's tensor power of p. I'm going to f. So just the same condition but rewritten in terms of this much more of the structure is this. So we now our proposition now becomes that we take here this category is replaced by category functors, but by category symmetry plus model functors going to C, satisfying the nerve condition. The nerve condition is that this is supposed to be an isomorphism. It's the same isomorphism that we had there. It's just precisely, nothing will change. Okay, and now finally we can get to Hopf algebras. And to break the things. Is there anybody still surviving? Or? No.
So you have to increase the pace now.
Oh.
To make sure that nobody survives to the end, right?
Okay, so now the part that might be more related to whatever's happening.
Just to be clear, I was kidding, Pavel.
So instead of, we just need to replace the category of finite sets with category, what we call it, B set. It's going to be the braided prop of commutative algebras. So, first of all, it's a braided monella category now. Objects are still a braided monella category. Objects as in a prop, any object should be just tensor power of a generating object. So I'll denote that same way as before. Now, what the commutative algebra means in the gradient line category, it means that it's something whose product satisfies this. Try to write down kind of universal free graded monella category generated by a single object, which is a commutative algebra, and you end up with this Bessette. So what are the morphisms?
You've also dropped strictness, I suppose.
I'll keep it for say simplicity or whatever. I'll keep it strict. It's going to be a strict one. Morphisms are going to be braids, so they are no longer just maps, but they are braids which are non-bijectively attached at the top, but bijectively attached at the bottom. So it means that here, when they join, they can do whatever. So I can undo any braiding that might be happening at this point. Okay, so that's it.
Also, it's commutative braided, commutative algebras, right?
Yeah. Yes, it's so. I cannot write it anymore.
Okay.
Some number of those things. Yeah. So that's this thing. So here is how we really use unit, how I would say multiply. And And so now, what's happening with those nerves of algebra? Oh, I can just write down the neural. In many ways, this is the main result, and everything then falls by inertia.
So what is the function? What would be a function from this set to the category of vector spaces?
Yeah, what's the a vector space for each? For each initial number and then each kind of things, I don't know.
So would it be a commutative algebra with a car matrix or with a gradient?
So but you want this function to be something like...
Because I want to understand what structure this probe is supposed to encode. You have defined the probe by generator emulations.
Oh, I see. Okay. I don't want to say that it's the probe of commutative algebras. So which means that we have this thing and we also have unit thing. But then one can also directly wrap it into all morphisms. So one can say it also like, solve the word problem of the words, understand what's happening. Or geometrically speaking. So the morphisms are upgrades, but these are non-budget grid attached at the top. Mm-hmm. With a rule that here you can somehow, there is no longer any order here, you can undo any grade.
I think the answer to your question, like, if your target is vector spaces, then your grading becomes just symmetric, and it's the same as the previous one.
So I don't know, it depends whether you want your function to be grading monoidal or something like that.
Oh, okay.
If you just want to have a function, then grading is not going to die, it doesn't have to die. But anyway, so this is just minor modification of the F set. E set is the most natural thing one can possibly do with it if you want to do braided stuff. And now the theorem says that we have everyone categories. So now this is not about nerves of arbitrary algebras. I'm sorry, I shouldn't start it like that. I should start like that. Let's see, be a graded monoidal category. Statement is not that there is a equivalence of categories. Between what? One category is both algebras and C with invertible octopode. And the other category is braided box monoidal. So this would be the actual nerves. F going from B set. C satisfying the nerve condition. I don't have to change the nerve condition. It's as it's drawn here. How to restore the top algebra. Because this is easier in this case. So from F to H. How does it work? It works precisely as before. So H is F of two dots. Now, we need to persuade H to be a Hopf algebra, so one thing is to be an algebra. So what do we observe? That dot is an algebra by, say, definition, almost thing. That implies also that dot tensor dot, so two dots, is an algebra. So if you have two algebras in a predicate interval dot category, then their tensor product is again an algebra, but in theory, it's, what is the product? It's something like this. So that's how this stuff is in algebra. It's non-commutative now. But that implies F of two dots is an algebra. Minus. So how is it an algebra if I reverse my color convention? Then we apply that F and apply it plus monoidal structure, and this is how we persuade this stuff to be an algebra. Okay, and then we need to know about co-algebras, but this precise case we saw before. So delta is going to be it's the only place where I need to make a little change. Okay, and now finally, since you're already dead, everybody, so now the only thing that you might possibly find interesting is going in the opposite direction. So how one actually constructs the nerve of a Hopf algebra out of a Hopf algebra. Was that some sort of two-dimensional picture for algebras? Starting with a Hopf algebra H, how to construct this nerve, which would go from C set to the curly monoidal category C.
So for ordinary Hopf algebras, that would just be vector spaces?
Yes, for C would be vector spaces. So how does it work? On objects is the same thing as before. It just has to be the same thing. So nh of dot power n is h tensor n minus 1. And you should imagine one product of h between any two constants. Interesting thing, or semi-interesting thing, is how it acts on morphisms. But we draw it for some particular morphism. Morphism that shows is this one. The take this guy, and we should construct
h of I,
let's go from h power 3 to h power 2. Okay, so let me draw it. So this will happen. If you just implement this plane as a motion of the plane, these two things now collide in this middle, in the middle landing pad. And now, so we need to somehow transfer these three H's into two H's, into some consecutive these things. And that, how do we do it? Transversals and multiply what we see when we make this transversal. So let me do something which is slightly illegal in a graded monoidal category, but it's perfectly fine in a symmetric monoidal category. And let's then think about what would actually happen. So let's kind of imagine that we have an element of the function, let's say A tensor B tensor, so A tensor B tensor C. That's illegal to do in arbitrary category, but it's fine. Let's not worry about it. So what's happening here? Now this A was here, it got there, but as it went there, it made a turn in the positive direction, so what do we do? We apply the antipode to that. So here, on this intersection, we can say, we would see, if you see anything, S applied to the A. Can you read it or program it? So what is here? Now this turn is undone. So we're going to meet B, but we meet B twice. So we need to apply the code. B1 and here the and finally, the C thing that's intersected only once, so we don't need to apply copper depth, but we need to apply now the inverse of the antipode. So that's why it was somewhere written that antipode needs to be invertible. So S inverse of C. Okay, now what do we put on those orange lines already? Those things, we just take the product of what we see from bottom to top. So finally, the outcome is that do that S of A times B1 and tensor with S inverse of C times B2. So A tensor B tensor C, us, and this stuff is sent to that thing. Now, if the thing is actually happening in Brady model category, then, you know, I must somehow worry about, so this B of was in the middle, now it's also near there, so how did we get there? But the picture tells you how we got there. So everybody was moving in the plane, so everybody underwent some break, finally we can correct. So that's it.
So,
could you say again why it's S inverse of C instead of S of C?
Because now we turned in the opposite direction. See, so as you move here, now we're turning in the speed direction, then in negative, so we undo the turn, and now we turn in the negative direction. So it should be S power the number of half turns, but counted with the right sign.
So you insisted on giving a global reading of this morphism, but instead you could have just said it's a composition of...
Sure, I can... Simpler thing might be to give you just, generators. Say, what's happening if you just take a single crossing?
Yeah.
Yes, maybe that's interesting. So what's happening if you take a single crossing? There should be an action of Bn on h power, all these things. So Bn should act on h tensor power n minus 1, among other things. And if you take one of those generators, so if you take this thing, so how does it act? You know, now those h's live in between. So what's happening with this h living in between? Do I remember? Might have been upside down, but now I more likely it was this time. But you can just take the rule and reconstruct it. Now, the reason why I prefer to put it that way, because if I did it this way, then one would have to verify that all relations are satisfied. But for that one is to write down all the relations. And you know, it's not just grading, it's this category, so like, all the relations look sort of obvious, but then are they really all? These questions are tricky for me, so I don't know. Whereas if you do it that way, then verifying that it works is sort of nice. So first of all, say, why is it well-defined? I told you, it's a functor. Here is the definition of it. Why is it even, before talking about functor, why is it even well-defined? All these curves and transversals. So one thing is, you see there is this transversal, and if something looks like that, one can also replace it with this one. That's roughly the only move that one can do. So why this will give you the same stuff as that? Just because there's say, one more antipode applied here than there, so by the simple binary property of antipode, you will get the same thing. The other thing, why is it a functor? So we took this stuff, now when it was squashed, let's now apply again this kind of break. And again take transfers, so again, you can. But if you stare at it for a moment, you will see that this is simply compatibility between the product and the coproduct in your of algebra. So I'll leave it as an exercise to verify that. Maybe I should probably kind of start finishing. Maybe one thing I didn't tell you is how this is, I described it as a functor, but how is it a Lux monoidal functor? Where is this? Where are these covariance morphisms? It's given simply by including the unit. Power n minus 1 times h power n minus 1 to h power n plus n minus 1. simply insert one at this missing place. That's all. That's this monocle stuff. Okay, and as I told you, once this is understood, then all this problem of quantization, it simply goes by inertia. So we're already running. And so what does one then do? I probably don't have much time for anything, so let me just say that there is an infinitesimally graded version. So this would be now infinitesimally graded monocle categories, so category where there are some chords, horizontal chords, but where the so we would have a contented algebra which satisfies that if you put there infinitesimal grading, then this is zero. Let me call this category C set, sets with chords, so typical morphisms that they just have those maps. Stuff like that, where you can have linear combinations, stuff like this. Modulo those 40 or 40 relations somehow. Now the statement is the same nerve theorem still works, so we can say that a Poisson of algebra is the same as now infinitesimally braided Lux monocle function. It might be a symmetric monocle category, it might actually be an infinitesimally graded monocle category. So there is some kind of generalization of Poisson of algebras to infinitesimally graded case to some C. Very cool. And now, how do we quantize? So this is now the nerve theorem for Poisson of algebras. This kind of natural version of what we had before. And how do we quantize it? The only thing is that we need to know we apply the associator, so finish with that. Quantization. C set going to C. So we turn all these infinitesimal graded categories to two graded monocle categories using Klingfeld's construction. So we one is to put there those h bars, which is just to make everything in form of power series in h bar. Then we define the same functor will, the same nerve will still be a braided monocle functor in this way. But now, you know.
With the word quasi added in various places. With the word quasi added in various places, or?
No. I don't know.
Again, you're associated, it's no longer strict. So far you were strict. And
oh, okay, so this stuff, okay. It's a. No, those functors were never. Functors were never strict. They were less monocle. They cannot be strict in any way. Strict monocle. So this is just going to still be a very neat less monocle functor. But what we can do here, now this algebra is commutative in this strong sense. It is commutative and associative. So this algebra will stay commutative even when we add the associator, which means by the universal property of props, of what the prop is, we have a braided monocle functor, strong but not strict, going from B set here. That this is a completely universal thing which doesn't care about the whole algebra, it cares only about the associator. It's given purely by the associator. And now we simply compose these two functors, this one with that one, let's say Funker. This is braided Lux monoidal. This is braided strongly monoidal. This guy is going to be braided Lux monoidal. Lo and behold, this is quantization. This is nerve. Okay. And that's it. Thank you very much.
How do you see here that this delta 1 is 0? So that's what you mentioned in the beginning.
One is to go slightly to those pictures, but it's because the associator doesn't contain linear term.
Mm-hmm.
And delta is given by this stuff, so mm-hmm. there is no grading inside.
Mm-hmm.
The only kind of things that come in here, and only corrections will be coming from the associator, and that's why there is no first order.
Mm-hmm. But then, is delta 2 something standard?
I think like periodically I try to look at this question and then I'll get lost in the calculation and just stop being motivated. But it should be something very easy.
What was the question again?
What is delta 2? The second order in h bar times delta 2, which is the correction of delta.
Oh, I see. In this picture. Right.
Yeah, because this will be independent of the associator mm-hmm. nature, because every associator has the same term there. But I just don't.
You had a geometric picture of how to go of how to construct a functor from E set from a Hopf algebra. Is there some mm-hmm. picture for Poisson Hopf algebras to construct?
I would love to have such a thing, but we just failed to find it. So. There, unfortunately, we kind of used some kind of standard stuff about from a theory of free body algebras and turned it into massage and then made it work for Poisson-Hopf algebras. But having
is it you didn't want to do for Hopf algebras, like so you have generators and relations and so forth.
The natural thing to do would be, so let's just take the associated graded of what's left, introduce some filtration, maybe pass two probes or whatever. But then I actually don't know whether the probe of Poisson-Hopf algebra is the associated graded of Hopf algebras when it's over Z. Because this thing, even the quantization is worse only over Q.
Right.
But this thing is actually true over Z. So maybe Poisson-Hopf algebras over Z are not so interesting. And they might be, maybe in characteristic P, it's not so bad to sometimes know about such things. Yeah, but so there are some kind of obvious things that we have no idea how to do. So that's why we had to do it in a different way.
Just wondering about the notation on the left hand board. What do the horizontal orange?
This is where the top totally disintegrated. So, so that's a horizontal chord, and so it's supposed to be an infinitesimally graded monoidal category. And I didn't say what infinitesimally graded monoidal category is, but it is. Since you're asking, it means that. We have a symmetric monoidal category and we have first order deformation of symmetry to a grading. So there should be a natural transformation Pxy going from X tensor Y to X tensor Y, which is denoted by this orange chord. So we have X and Y and a chord between them. And what this should satisfy really is that, okay, this is a real thing, but that if you introduce a braiding between x and y, as we take the symmetry, so what we had before, so we say symmetry monomial categories, we can exchange those things, and compose it with identity plus epsilon times dxy, and if epsilon squared is 0. So this will be like a first order deformation of symmetry to a grading. So this beta now needs to set, or this beta now needs to satisfy the hexagon, which says that this D is satisfies some comps. Leibniz rule, you know, each of those components. But these are like things that are normally in, at least by some people in this room called the horizontal chords. So this is a horizontal chord.
Any further questions? So let's thank Pavel once again.